All right, we're in the third chapter of Colossians. That's where we kind of left off with the first verse. We were talking about in the end of the second chapter, about the last four verses, we were talking about where we died with Christ. How do we die with Christ? Buried with Him in baptism. Okay. What about this death? What died? We'll found up more on that today or tonight. But he's talking about our former life, how we were before we turned to Christ, the life that was considered that we were with sin when we were buried with Him. That to be buried, that means somebody has to die. So that the old man, the old ways, our old characters, our sins, we die. And then, and we're in the third chapter here, we're going to be talking about rising or risen with Christ. And we talk about that, where that old one was dead or buried. Now the new man, the one that's, you're going to be in Christ, like Christ raised from the dead, we will be raised up too. But it's a new man. It's a different man. This one is in Christ. The old one was not in Christ. The old one did not have Christ. But this one, you are in Christ. That's what makes you a new man. Your sins are all just, you're gone. You're starting your life again. A new life with that. And that's what we'll be talking about in the third chapter. And to read the first four verses here, it says, verse 1 of the third chapter, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory." All right. Yes, he tells them, but he says, if, you know what, he said, basically says, since or you have been raised with Christ to the water of baptism. And he says, now, since you're raised, got the new person thing, your mindset is not upon the things of the earth. And the old man was. That's how you can see the contrast between the old man and the new man. The old man was concerned about the earthly things. But the new man, his focus is now, it's upon heavenly things, which says where Christ is with God. And if you look at Philippians 3, verse 20, that's just talking about where our citizenship is. If our citizenship is in heaven, then what are we should be seeking then? The things that are heavenly. These are the things that we are trying to obtain. As he talked about in the second chapter, he says, don't let them deceive you or cheat you out of your reward. And here he's talking about now, this is it. Put your mind upon heavenly things, where your reward is. This is where you're going. This is where your citizenship is at. This is what you're seeking after. And the only way you can get that is through Christ. Said, seek those things which are above. Well, what? Where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. So this is where our focus, our attention should be. Upon Christ, where is He at? He's in heaven with God. So these are the things that we should be looking forward to, seeking after. Not the earthly things anymore. That's the old man. Now in the new man, we're seeking after the heavenly things, the things that are spiritually with God in heaven. All right, now, this is where we kind of left off. It says, set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. Talking about the mind. Affection, be minded, values and love, and ponder and yearn for. And I like to ponder and yearn for it. He said, ponder on these things, not on the things of the earth. But ponder, think about this. And you think about this, here's some things. What can wealth achieve for him who has treasures laid up in heaven? If you had all the money, all the wealth in the world, you think that would be compared to the treasures in heaven? I tell you, I know one of the richest men in Bowling Green. He traded there at the store when I worked at Spring Hill. Met him for a few years, didn't know it. And a few years later, I found out this man is wealthy. Doesn't look like it, doesn't act like it. But let me tell you, he's worth boohoos of money. I mean, plenty. But he doesn't have the Lord. And he's not interested in it. Actually, I don't think all the wealth that he's got, it really means that much to him, the way he acts and he carries on. Because you look at him, you wouldn't ever think he was rich. But he has it. But he doesn't have the Lord. Think about that. You don't have the Lord. So what is all this wealth? It's not going to last. The things of this earth is not going to last. It says, our honor for him who is already throned in heavenly places. What great honor could you have compared to being a child of God? Knowing that you shall receive your reward if you stay faithful. What kind of honor could you have greater than being a child of God, a Christian? There is no greater honor upon this earth for us. Our fame. How can you compare fame for him who enjoys the approval of God? You have all this fame, all these fans, you're a celebrity, all these people are looking to you and thing. What does that compare to having the approval of God? What's when you're gonna have? Be famous down here, all this, and be a big celebrity here upon earth for a short period of time? Is that what you're seeking after? But you can have the approval of God. Our power for him who will spend eternity with the Creator. How can you imagine that? Can you imagine being Caesar of Rome? Let me tell you, Rome was a powerful. I always looked at Nebuchadnezzar. I love reading Babylonian. And he's a very powerful thing. But the great kingdom upon earth was Rome. And you were the Caesar of that. You were the head man of that empire. Now, how is that going to compare spending your life of eternity, I should say, with God? There is no comparison, right? Yeah, contrast.
Yeah. the flesh behind, we're going to leave the world and earthly things behind and set our minds on things above. Because we're raised with Christ, our mindset is in heaven, where we're citizens, not here. So carnal things that will draw our attention back to here and away from Christ will then make us revert back to being citizens of the earth. And he says, set your mind on things above instead of things on the earth which are temporary and that draw you back away from your eternal citizenship. In verse 3, he says, for you died and your life is hidden in Christ and God. So where is Christ now? He is at the right hand of the throne of God in heaven, where we're citizens. And he says, so if you set your mind on things above, that's where God's at and where Christ is at. He says, don't be drawn back to this worldly fleshly thing, just like you don't want to be drawn back to the old law from the last chapter that won't get you salvation because the word of Christ is in heaven. And just like men's philosophies were rooted in ignorance and idleness here, the earth won't get you God because God's up there. We're citizens of heaven, like Philippians 3:20 says, and without setting our mind on things above, we can't maintain that.
Yeah, Paul, I think, is making a really good contrast for the old man and the way you were, and then the new man after you put on Christ. And you have to understand, now he's writing to the Colossians here. He knows some of the things that has bothered them, or they've had some problems with. They've got philosophers, these false teachers. They've got probably the Judaizing teacher coming in and says, you got to be circumcised, you got to do the old law, you got to sacrifice, and you got to do the holy these days and new moons. And he says, no, that's the old man. That's the earthly man. That's gone. He says, now that's been nailed to the cross. Okay? That was buried. That's dead. Now, you got this new life in you, and this new life is not on this earth. Your mindset, your focus, and your attention is in heaven with Christ and God. And that's where he's telling you, he says, that's where your mind should be at. These people come along with these philosophies and things, these half-wisdom, half-truths and things. He says, look, that stuff's gone. You died to that. Why would you want to go back into it? When you can have Christ, when you can have what? Be with the Creator, be with Christ, and look at all the treasures we talk about that was laid up there. Well, we talk about Sunday about the mansion. On this earth, you can go look at any mansion that you want to, it will not compare to what you're going to have in heaven. He uses that comparison. You can see this mansion. You look at it. Let me tell you, no comparison to what your home in heaven is going to be like. And he's using these terms, and he's trying to instill upon them, Christ is where it's at. Don't let them to persuade you away from Christ with these philosophies, the old law, or whatever. You put your mind and focus on Christ and his word and his teaching. That's what he's talking about. Anything else anybody have? All right. Oops. Cheated there. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. All right. For you died, okay? Well, when you died, when you baptized into Christ, that was the point where the old man died. The old man was buried in the baptism. All right, we already talked about it. Then he says, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, what is your life is hidden? What does that mean? Let me tell you. I can tell you what it doesn't mean. You'll look at a lot of commentators, and they will say this, but this is false. They say it is hidden, your spiritual life, once you obey, once you're baptized and you put on the spirit, man, your spiritual life is in heaven, and God is got it secured for you. That's what it is. It's hidden up in heaven. And nobody can take it away from you because God has it, your spiritual life. Well, you know that's false, and we'll see later on too, that you can lose that. So you know that's wrong. But what is it? Kenneth?
Are they implying that your spiritual life is separated from the physical life, and therefore you can do anything you want to do? Is that what they're saying?
That's what they are saying. I'm not saying that. But you look at a commentator, and they said that your spiritual life, what is talked about being hidden, is in heaven. Your spiritual life is in heaven, and God is protecting it. That's what they're saying. Now, I don't think that's what it's saying here, all right? But what does it say? Facts. All right. Who is it hidden from? Is the key thing. The life of the Christian has a hidden source, and that's Christ. When you put on Christ. Now, when you see somebody baptized, when they come up to the out of the water, is there any difference on them? Is there any markings on them? You know, like in Revelation, you're marked with the, he's sealed. But can you see that? You don't see him physically, you don't see anything different. But you're different. Now, you may go out, your character's going to be different. You're going to be walking a different course. You're not going to be walking the earthly way. You're going to be walking the spiritual way. But he's talking about Christ is your source. The world cannot see that. It cannot see that. But Christ is your life. He says, how do you get to God? The only way you can get to God is through Christ. So when you're baptized into that, you're putting on Christ. You're different. Physically, you can't see it. The world cannot see it. When will the world see it? Well, that's what Pax was talking about in the next verse. When Christ, who is our life, appears, when he comes the second time, then you also will appear with him in glory. They will see you then in your glory. They don't see it now. They don't see glory looking at you, but they will see it. See, it's hidden from the world because they do not have Christ. But you have Christ. You have been put the old man to death, put on the new man. That's what he's talking about. You got this new man. You're focused. You're up on heavenly things. But your source is Christ now. It's his word, his commandments. And it's in Christ because Christ is the only way you can get to God. He's the only channel or medium that you can get to. The only way. There's nobody else can get you to God unless it's you're with Christ. Nobody. Don't anybody tell you that they can get to God and you cannot do it. It will not work. Christ is the only way you can get to God. And when you sin, you separated yourself from God. God didn't walk away from you. You walked away from God. You separated. Now, the only way you can get back to him is through Christ. But the old man to death, rise and walk in with him and put Christ on. the new man, that puts you in. Pax?
That word hidden can also maybe use the term secure. And I was thinking about in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, he says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. So we are in God because we have faith in Christ Jesus." And then in verse 27, it says, "For as many as were baptized in Christ and put on Christ, so in connection to Christ through baptism, which is what we know how we get to God." Then verse 29 says, "And if you are Christ, then you are able to conceive and heirs according to the promise." The promise that was made long before, so the promise that brought salvation to us came through Christ. So when we're given and made secure in Christ, then we can be brought to fruition like before. When Christ appears, and will appear.
That's right. When you're a child of God, you're marked, right? Are you not marked? God has His children marked. He knows who His children are. Does the world know it? No. But when Christ comes again in His glory, His children will be glorified too, just with Him, just like Him. And they'll see His children. They'll know who they are. It will not be hidden anymore. Everybody will be able to see when Christ comes again. This is a valuable verse right here. When Christ, who is our life now, you have to understand, He's telling to these Colossians here, Christ is your life now. It's not the world. It's not the earth. But Christ is your life. It's inside you. You're doing His will and God's will through Christ. When Christ, who is our life, appear, when He comes again, then you will also appear with Him in glory. Understand what that means? When He comes again, we will be in glory too. You think about that. That's not a curse to you. I don't know what will be. He's been talking about, He says before, don't let them steal your reward. It means you can lose it, okay? But you have this reward in heaven, eternity here. And when Christ will appear in His glory, His children, those Christians, those saints, will appear also in glory. That's a biggie. I don't know if to you, but it's to me. And to the Colossians here, when they're seeing this thing, because like I said, they're being bombarded with these false teachers here and things. And He's trying to encourage them, do not leave the walk. You have put Christ on. Now, why? Go back and lose all this. Anything else?
Some of the things that are being mentioned right here, I think, tie in a lot to, he's talking about set your mind on things above. It's the Christian mindset. And this is the mindset that a successful Christian has, is have these qualities. So the mindset of a Christian is, I'm dead to sin, I live for Christ. And then also you tie into it, the word hid is really dealing with your protector. Christ is protecting your soul. And does that mean that you can't lose your soul? We know that
no.
You still can.
Yeah, we will.
He wouldn't have written this letter if that wasn't the case. We wouldn't have these writings. But the fact of the matter is it ties a lot into 2 Timothy 1:12. It's a song we sometimes sing. I was looking at the hymn a second ago where it talks about, I know whom I have believed, and that you've entrusted your soul to God. And that we know that He's going to protect what we've entrusted to Him. It's not like, you know, with some business dealings that you've given some money to somebody, and who knows if it's going to be there. But with Christ, whatever you provide for Him as far as for your salvation, He's guarding your soul. And so if you're living for Him, He's going to find you righteous in the end. I think that's what He's dealing with. So it's just a good mindset for a Christian to have to be successful.
What you're saying is still what's encompassed when you are in Christ. You have to remember that we are in Christ. What does that mean? That means I put Him on. I have the old man's gone, the earthly world sin stuff, but I have put on the new man. and that new man is in Christ. Well, what kind of life did Christ live when he was up on this earth? What kind of example did he live for you? Right. And that's why your goal, this is what you're yearning for, this is what you've been pondering about and thinking about, to be like Christ. What can you do today to be more Christ-like? How's my daily walk with Him? How am I doing? Have I put off the way? See, the old man and the new man cannot be together. Can men not be together? If you put the old man on, then the new man is dead. You can only have one. Now, when you're buried with it, you bury the old one. He's dead. Now, you put on the new one. Now, you can lose it. We've been talking about that. And we'll talk to them more about it. You can lose that. But they cannot be together. Pax. Yes.
It's like putting on a cloak. So you put something on and you cover it up the other thing underneath of it, or you put a bucket over something and now you can't see it. It's covered up and it's on. And when we put on Christ, when we put on sand, you cover up the other thing. It's one or the other. You can't have kind of half showing with this or that. It's completely encapsulating it. And if we could get that in our head, that's why, you know, the question you said, well, what do you do?
Did you have something, Freddie? Gary?
Romans 6:2 kind of goes along with this few verses there. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ, Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
Okay, that's right. Anybody else have something?
You know, piggyback on what Pat said, you know, when you can't cover up halfway, you know, and he's making the same kind of analogy here and same kind of overall term and phrasing that he used in Ephesians 6 chapter with the whole armor of God. You know, from the head to your toes, you cover up and you get ready, and you're putting the whole armor of God, not a piece here, not a piece there. You're putting it all on.
Okay. Yeah. Started off with in the last four verses of that, we're talking about the death. Now, in the first four verses of the third chapter, we talk about risen. Okay, the old man, dead, new man raised up when you're baptized. Okay? One's gone, and you got the other one come in. See? They're not together. You can't have both of them in there. You're going to be one or the other. If you go back to the old man, then you're going back with the world, but you're going to go back to Satan. But if you keep on a new man and put your mind focused upon Christ and God and the heavenly things, and that's where your guide is what it is. Your daily walk is you're looking up and you're not looking down. You're looking through the heavenly thing, the spiritual things that of Christ and God. So that's where your mindset is, where your focus is. All right. Now, next section is verses 5 through 17. I'd like to read that together before we start talking about it. Verse 5. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put on the old, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on a new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Excuse me. I knew it was coming. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Okay. Therefore, what you're talking about, all these things, say, therefore, now, put to death your members, well, what? Which are on the earth. These are anything that will hinder you from your service to God. He said, you put those to, remember we're talking about death now. Put to death your members, anything that can hinder you that's on this earth. And he says now, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is adultery. Fornication, every kind of unlawful sexual intercourse. Uncleanness, moral impurity. Don't think about impure things. Passion, evil lust. Evil desire, all evil longings. And covetousness, which is adultery. Greed, a desire for and seek after material things. Okay? These should be dead. If you did these things in the past, is basically what he's talking about. Some of you did these things. Remember, you put those to death. All of these things. Not saying that you had them all, but some of them you had some of these things. These are dead, he says now. That's the way it should be. Okay? When you were buried in baptism, this died. And you were forgiven of that. All these things right here. was washed away. When you were buried with him, they're gone. They're out of your life. They're with that old man. They're not with the new man. It says, because of these things. What things? Well, what he just talked about. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Well, the sons of disobedience are still doing these things. What do you know about the wrath of God? Do you need anything? I don't have my hands in.
The Old Testament
is pretty full of it. Yes. You see the wrath of God in action. You've seen it. You read about it. Let me tell you, I don't want the wrath of God after me. To keep me from getting the wrath of God, he's telling us that, he says, put these things away. Because these things are of the children of disobedience. These things are of the world. These things are not Christ-like. This is not the new man. What he's telling you, these were the things that you left behind that you buried. If you go back to them, you will know about when Christ appears again, because God's wrath will come upon you. Let me tell you, you better fear God and keep His commandments. That's what he's telling you. You have put this new man on. He's trying to encourage these Colossians here. You've already put this new man on. Now, Paul's heard all about these things, what they're coming on through is what? Why would you want to put the old man back on? Why?
Pleasure.
You thought they were happy during that? Did you get your satisfaction from that? Were you pleased with that? Did it satisfy your longings? What did Solomon say? No. You will never be satisfied. The grass will never be greener in that kind of life. And you should recognize that when you become on Christ and you put on a new man, you are to count your blessing and see how much better off you are. And we'll begin that way Sunday morning. Thank you.